Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Humanitarian Radio. It is October 6th today, and we are going to first start out talking about the month of October.
The month of October.
Hello, Tony Saintone.
I'm here, and you are Janie Beauclair,
I believe. Am. It's true.
That's what the new radio song said. I hope you're enjoying the new song. We put it out last week. It's our new theme song, so sing along as you're listening.
It's true. It's a new song. We write new songs regularly. We, meaning Tony and his guitar.
So that one came to me while I was driving around, and I sang it to the dashboard, and then I came home and put it together. So,
yes, L.A. traffic can inspire a lot, can't it?
Yes, you can learn a whole new language in L.A. traffic. It's amazing what you can do when you're driving 2 miles an hour. So,
hey, we had some crazy weather here yesterday, huh?
Yeah, those are called Santa Ana winds.
It was blasting winds.
Yeah, and it's weird because, you know, we both came from Florida. And hurricane seasons out there was something you prepared for.
This just slaps you upside the head. You don't see it coming, and all of a sudden it's NEM.
This is just a blow dryer with hot air just coming at you. It's very interesting. Our cat was amazed.
I was just going to say, it was so bad that our cat was afraid to be outside because the leaves were blowing by so fast. It was kind of freaking her out, so she hung out inside all day yesterday. But hope that the area wherever you are hanging out is beautiful and you're having a great Sunday. And I wanted to get back to that October conversation.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of things go on in October that are fundraising type things and events to go and support that show your humanitarian love. And breast cancer awareness is probably the biggest thing that happens in October. A lot of people do walkathons. Definitely you want to get involved in those or contribute to support those that are walking. But also Halloween is celebrated by some, and it's a great opportunity to put a fundraiser together, costume parties, that type of thing, and enjoy the season.
I was going to say also there's a lot of kids that don't get a chance to experience Halloween. So even if you had a get-together or if you went out to a certain school and handed out candy, I'm not sure exactly how you'd go about it. I'm not saying drive up in your car and go, hey, kid, you want some candy? That wouldn't be good. I heard on Humanitarian Radio. I just pulled up in my pickup and I said, hey, you kids want some candy? So, that's not what we're saying. But, you know, Christmas is always a time of giving, and people usually get gifts and bring it to a toy fundraiser.
Yeah,
Toys for Tots. But I'm thinking, like, maybe there could be an opportunity where someone could say, hey, there's some kids that don't usually experience Halloween. How can we give them an opportunity to experience that?
Yeah, and even if it's not something that's in their religion, it can be just a costume party with kids love to dress up and be space heroes. And, you know, we used to do Raggedy Ann. It used to be a blast.
You were a space hero or Raggedy Ann?
I was a space hero. No.
Yeah.
So we got a great show coming up today. We have the coolest lady. I just love her. Aretha Gray is a fan and friend of Betty White's and is on the show Off Your Rockers, and she is quite the card.
She is off her rocker.
She's not.
No, she's not. She's really cool. You're going to hear a lot about her, how she's out and about doing her Hollywood thing.
Four nights a week.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Four nights a week. So
crazy.
I think
she's out there having a ball. She reinvented her life.
We run into her quite often. Yes, she did reinvent her life. And she said, you know what? I'm going to take full advantage of it now that I'm out here. She said she was in Hollywood
in
for a while.
In the 70s.
Yep, and then she
dropped
backed
out. For a number of years.
Yep, and then she came back.
Mm-hmm. So we applaud her because I always encourage people to reinvent their life and give it a new start. If you feel you're lacking something and you're needing something fresh, go for it. You got nothing to lose.
And we're going to get right back into it with Aretha Gray right after a word from our sponsors.
This segment of the show sponsored by Artistic Journey, where we help groups and organizations reach their fundraising goals by providing unique marketing products to showcase their events. Be sure to visit artisticjourney.com, where you can shop for over 750,000 items to put your logo on, all at wholesale pricing. Whether you're looking for some fresh ideas or just need a better price on the goods you currently purchase, let Artistic Journey's years of experience bring your events to a whole new level. Visit artisticjourney.com today. Good afternoon and welcome to Humanitarian Radio. We have a special guest in our Hollywood segment today. We are here with Miss Retha Gray. Welcome, Retha. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here.
We're so happy to have you. We've been running into you a lot in Hollywood lately. We've seen you on the last bunch of red carpets that we've been involved in. And it's really nice to see you out and about on the town, showing your stuff. Such a pleasure.
You're out a lot, Retha. I mean, is this a normal routine? Like, how many nights out are you?
Usually about four nights a week.
Wow, that's awesome.
And you've been doing this.
Yeah, well, when I was in Hollywood before, I didn't get to do all this great stuff, so I'm making up for lost time.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Excellent. So are you just returning after a long getaway?
Well, actually, I was in the entertainment business in the 70s, and then in the 80s, I was doing casting, mm-hmm. and in the 90s, I got out of the entertainment business altogether. Came back in 2008 and started working on Betty White's Off Their Rockers, and it's been the biggest break of my career.
Isn't that fun? You know, Tony has a song with his band Saint Tone called Reinvent Your Life, and the song is about, it doesn't matter what age you are, you can live your dreams at any age, so never be afraid to, you know, no matter what age you are, never be afraid to go after that dream again. So you obviously have lived the life of that song for your last couple.
Absolutely. My saying is, it's never too late, you're never too old.
There you go.
You want to be my poster child?
Absolutely.
I love it.
I know, I do think that's great. And I think people out there that are listening, the things that you have done is encouraging them to say, hey, I can still do this. You know, I have people come up to me all the time say, wow, I wish I played guitar. And I'm like, well, why don't you? They're like, oh, you're supposed to start when you're really young. I'm like, why? You could start right now. Yeah, but I'm 35.
Exactly.
I'm 40. I'm like, that doesn't matter. You actually could get better quicker now because you put in the time. You'll discipline yourself. So I encourage people to always go forward with their dream no matter what it is. They can still obtain it in a different way than what they originally thought, but they just let the whole thing go instead of just finding a piece of it and moving forward. So that's great that you've
Absolutely.
Done that.
Absolutely. So there's so many things that I didn't try until I was older. I mean, I didn't swim with sharks for the first time until about 6 or 7 years ago.
I don't know that I ever want to do that.
I did that once.
It's fun. It's really fun. People say, you're kidding me, right? It's fun to swim with sharks uncaged. They're uncaged. You're uncaged.
Wow.
It's really delightful.
Let me tell you, I've had an experience similar to that. The problem was is I was learning how to scuba dive. And my nose started bleeding, and it was just me and the instructor, and he kept looking at me, and he kept putting the fin on his head, and he kept going, go up. And I'm going, what are you talking about? We're in this beautiful area. And I got up there, and he goes, there were two sharks circling you. I'm like, oh, you're kidding. He goes, yeah, your nose is bleeding. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, once we're in the boat, because he was freaking out, going, look, you better get out of here.
So, yeah, not good, not good.
That's not a fun experience.
Was a little similar, although we were purposely swimming with sharks.
Yeah.
And what they do is they throw meat down on the floor of the ocean.
Oh, my God.
And then the sharks come, and then we get in and swim above them and watch them feed.
Oh.
Which is, it's amazing to watch. And I didn't realize the sharks were running out of food.
And so yeah, that's
saying,
what I was going to say.
Come on, lady, get out, lady, it's time to get out. And they're all being very calm, so I'm being very calm. And I get out the water into the boat, and they just started screaming at me. Did you hear me? Did you get out of the boat? The sharks were finished eating. You were next.
You were next. Oh, my gosh.
That's so funny, because that's exactly what the guy kept doing to me. He was very calm, like, you know, come on. Looking, putting the fin on his head, and I'm going, all right, I don't understand what the big deal is. And next thing you know, then he tells you afterwards. Once you're in the boat, you find out the real story. That's great.
So I want to talk a little bit about your great success you're having with Betty and how much fun you guys must have working together, because she is an absolutely amazing lady and just a blast to be around. So I can't imagine how much fun you have with her on a daily basis when you guys are working together.
We have a wonderful time. On our show, we basically prank young people.
Right.
But we have segments where we actually do scenes with Betty, because Betty's like our gang leader, and she's sending us out to get even with all those young pranksters that have been trying to pull things off on older people all these years, and we're getting even with them. So working with Betty is just great. We can't even begin to tell you how much energy Betty has.
And now, who comes up with the pranks? Is it the writers of the show, or do you guys have any input, or do you get to freeform some of what you're doing?
It's a combination of everything. We have the writers give us an outline of what they want to achieve in a prank, and then we go out on the streets and we choose people randomly. So they really have no idea
we're
real
go.
Or not real. They don't know what's going on. And then we have to improvise because we never know what they're going to say.
Right, right. So do you have a favorite prank that you guys have done over the years so far? Do you have one that really sticks out for you?
I have several, but one of my favorites right now, whatever I've seen last tends to be my favorite. But one of my favorites is when I am asking people to sign a petition against identity theft. And I walk up to this one young man and I said, I want you to sign my petition. And all I need is your name, your phone number, the last four numbers of your social security number, your ATM PIN number. And this poor kid is like, I can't give you all of that. And I'm saying, oh, well, that's terrible. You must be for identity theft. And he's trying to be so kind. And he's saying, my Mima always told me to be kind. And he didn't want to call me old. And he was just... He didn't know what to do, poor thing. So finally I said, well, obviously you're part of the problem and not the solution. And I walk away, and he's devastated.
That's pretty funny. We, Tony and I punked our drummer when he first moved to Hollywood. Ashton Kutcher was doing his punked show, and we...
It was Who Gets the Last Laugh.
Yeah,
We put him on that with an ice cream cart.
Yeah, we had him, I told him that I had a client that needed a hand because I have a promotional marketing company. And I said, I have a client that needs a hand, and Gary had just moved here. He was looking for a job. It was perfect timing. And I said, you just need to roll around on the ice cream truck for a few hours. They're going to be at a park in Hollywood, and all we need you to do is just, you know, watch the fort, basically. Make sure nobody rips anybody off and, you know, all that. Well, they ended up, for the prank, it was they sent in... kids to buy ice cream with really large bills, $50 bills, $100 bills, that type of thing. And the guy that Gary was partnered up with, the ice cream guy, was ripping all the kids off and giving them, you know, $5 back from an ice cream out of a $50 bill. And Gary was mortified. He's such an honest guy that he was totally mortified and didn't know how to handle that this guy was ripping off these little kids. Then they send in the parents. And the guy who's ripping them off goes to the bathroom, and they send in the parents to scream at Gary for ripping off their kids. And that poor guy, he was white as a sheet. He was so upset. It was. And Tony and I are laughing in the bushes. We just had a great time. So I can only imagine how much fun you have doing that.
Oh, it's hysterical. And we get to do so many outrageous things. I get to go up to men that are young enough to be my grandchildren and say things like, do you want to sit here and talk for a little while, or do you want to just go straight back to your place? And they're like, what are you talking about? It's like, why, aren't you the horny young man from the internet? And they're like, no, it's not me.
Now, what happens if someone says, yeah, let's go? Do you just go, okay, call in the recruits. We're not going
on a couple of occasions, I did have a couple say that, yeah, okay, fine, no problem.
There you go.
One of them turned out to be a professional sex worker, so that worked out real well.
I knew you were going to get something in Hollywood. You just can't. You know, when you go out there fishing.
Luck of the draw.
You're out fishing in Hollywood, you're going to get something. Go, yeah, well, let's do it. And you're like, no, this is the joke.
Exactly. And a couple were just kind of serious. another one of my favorites, we were saying, Anne, one of the other cast members, and I were going around saying that our children were married to one another and they were having problems having children. So we were out trying to find sperm donors. And we wanted to know if they would donate sperm because, you know, you're a good-looking guy. We'd like to have a nice kid, grandkid by you. And we actually had a guy that said, okay. And we said, we've got jars in the car. We'll be right back. We're going to go get the jar.
What day, let people know when they can watch the show.
Depending where in the country.
Well, actually, we're on hiatus right now.
Okay.
We've been on NBC. Okay. However, NBC, naughty NBC, did not pick us up again.
Oh.
Whoops. I've got an alarm going
off
here
mail.
In the background.
It's NBC calling. They're ready to do this again.
But the good news is, we did get picked up by another cable network.
Excellent.
Perfect.
Good.
So we will be back probably the first part of the year, and that's the time we normally come back. I can't say which cable network right now. They won't let us.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely have been picked up, and we will be back. So
excellent.
A lot of our fans were really upset that we weren't coming back.
You can't hold a good thing down. Tell them.
Absolutely. And, I mean, how can you not love Betty? I mean, Betty is 91 years old. She's going to be 92 in January. She's going to still be doing two shows. This will be the third year in a row that she's doing two primetime shows.
Wow.
She is always involved in all of her animal charities and just in all kinds of things. She does more promos for both of the shows than all the rest of us put together. She's amazing.
Well, that's a great inspiration, too. I think when you're working with someone that has that much talent and that much stamina at 91, people, that means that, you know, there is no reason to really retire as people want to retire. And I think the reason why people want to retire is because they're not enjoying what they're doing. But if you love what you're doing, it's not work. You know, it's play. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic that she's actually still out there and doing it and encouraging others. And you are also. You're out there encouraging people to follow their dreams and stay involved. Excuse me. We're going to pause real quick for a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. Because I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmation, rap, pop rock song.
Give me that best case scenario.
Motivational musician. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.fainttone.com.
Reinvent your life. Mama said we can always work it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, with Miss Retha Gray. Such a delight to be here with you, Retha, again. And I want to talk about how celebrities do a lot of really good things with their name and through the ability of their fame. And you do a lot of charitable work. You are out there doing good things all the time, and you've got quite a few things that you work with. I know that you're working with early detection of cancer, and you support bullying campaigns for young people. And why don't you tell us a little bit about those things and how you support them and what you're doing?
Well, my family has been plagued with cancer, especially the women in my family. I lost both my mother and my daughter to cancer.
Oh, wow.
So I'm very concerned about women getting early detection. My mother was a long-term survivor of cancer, but ultimately, after 14 years, she had a recurrence of lung cancer. My daughter, I think basically due to not getting early detection, also had lung cancer. And women have got to go and get tests. If you don't feel right, you need to go and get tested. You need to know your own body. So it doesn't matter whether it's breast cancer or lung cancer. Early detection is the key.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I lost my father to brain cancer, so I'm very familiar with the whole rough road. And definitely agree with you. If you don't feel good, just go get yourself checked out, because there's things that can be done, especially if they catch these things early.
Absolutely. So I try to, and anywhere I go, try to encourage women and men to get their checkups regularly. If you don't feel well, see a doctor. I try to participate in events that support cancer research.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important. There's so many things that can be done that aren't being done simply because people don't go to the doctor.
Right.
So I really want like to encourage that. And then anti-bullying is another thing that I'm involved with. I've done some public service announcements regarding anti-bullying. It's amazing to me what has evolved into thinking is fun.
Yeah.
Has evolved into bullying. And even on our show, there have been a couple of instances where I've had to say, we shouldn't do this as a prank. This is bullying. This is crossing the line.
Wow. And see, it's great that you're aware of what crossing the line actually is, so that you can, you know, pull that card and say, hey, guys, this isn't cool. We shouldn't be doing this one. This one's not nice. It might be funny, but it's not nice.
Most of the time, it's really not even funny.
Yeah.
And because the younger generation has become kind of anesthetized to what is funny and what is bullying, and we had a lot of young producers on the show, a lot of times they would think things were genuinely funny, and it's like, that's not funny. So even working on the show has been an opportunity to stand up to bullying. And I try to encourage people also, stand up. If you see something going on and it's not right, say something.
Absolutely.
And I know we live in a society where that seems and feels difficult, but you just have to do it. Even if it means losing your job, sometimes the cast members would tease me and say, you know, if you keep standing up for stuff, they're going to fire you. But it didn't happen because they're good people on the show.
Yeah.
And they weren't trying to do anything that was bullying. And Betty was very clear. She did not want us to do anything that was in poor taste, mm-hmm. or that was offensive.
Right.
It was just good, clean fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have to agree with you on the step in when you see something, because I pretty much do that regularly. And I got to say that you get a little butterfly in your stomach when you're going to jump into a middle of a situation, because it is uncomfortable, but the end result is always really good in that you've made whoever is doing the taunting or the situation, you've made them aware and you stop them in their tracks. And if you just prevent one person from bullying, you've just saved one soul on the other side who was about to be
Absolutely.
The receiver. So, yeah, I'm totally behind you 1,000% on that notion.
So, yeah, there are so many opportunities to step in and to do work for early detection for cancer and to contribute to cancer research and to contribute to anti-bullying campaigns. And like I said, just on a very basic level, to step in when you see something going wrong.
Right.
So let's switch gears quickly. You're going to be leaving the country in February. And it seems like you go to Africa. Do you go to Africa quite often for these different mission trips?
I love going to Africa. The first time I went to Africa, you know, you hear people say, oh, it'll change your life. It really did change my life. You come back to America and you become grateful for just the slightest little things that you have. I was in Ghana and the water gets turned off in these third world countries,
right.
if you have water to begin with. But if you have running water, it can get turned off. The electricity can get turned off. They don't know when it's coming back on. They don't know why it went off. And they don't even question it. Life just goes on.
Wow.
So I learned how to live with a bucket of water a day, which meant that you had one bucket to flush the toilet and to bathe in.
Wow. Wow. You really learn to ration, don't you?
And I had a roommate, and we could only use one bucket between us.
Wow.
And it took a bucket of water to flush the toilet.
Oh, my.
So that meant we could flush the toilet once a day, and we had to bathe in a cup of water. So I can take a complete bath in a cup of water.
Wow. We should get that on film. That'd be interesting to see.
Oh, it truly is.
It's another show coming on later on this year.
New reality.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's shoot the sizzle and see if we can get it picked up.
How to bathe in a cup of water.
Well, while you're out there, tell us a little bit about what you're doing. I mean, I know that you're bathing with a cup.
It's exciting.
Well, on that particular trip to Ghana, our main mission was to go paint a school. There was a school in a very rural area. We were about 8 hours out of the main city by car.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it was really funny because the local men couldn't imagine that women were really going to paint.
Really? Really? They hadn't seen that side of women.
No, they hadn't. And there were six of us on the trip. And we literally painted the school and visited with the children. We took all kinds of school supplies because they don't have very many school supplies.
Right.
So pencils and paper and books are things that they really appreciated. We took clothing. We handed out clothing. And I was there for a week. Or a week and a half, I think it was. And during that time, we went to different villages, handed out food, handed out clothing, and we painted the school.
What was the reaction of the people that you were helping? What was their reaction to getting clothing, to you guys painting, just to you being there in general?
They are so grateful that someone cares.
Yes. Yes.
Because in these third world countries, they don't have the government to take care of them.
Right.
They don't have anyone really to take care of them. So they are grateful for any help that comes from anywhere. So just a simple piece of clothing, you know, that we would just take for granted.
Right.
They're so excited to get. I've been to Kenya, Ghana, and it's just amazing how they respond to getting food. Things that we just absolutely take for granted. We assume we're going to have at least one meal a day, whether
right.
we want it or not.
We know we can roll into Roscoe's Chicken and grab a meal anytime we feel like it, and they certainly
absolutely.
Don't have that luxury. I think
absolutely.
The closest thing for me to relate to that, I was raised in Florida, and after every hurricane, which you generally have at least one or two every year, the whole communities would get together and gather clothing, gather food, gather all the necessary things for those people who were just wiped out from the storms. And it's very, very similar to what those third world countries go through in that you are suddenly scrambling because suddenly you have no power, you have no water, you may have just lost all of your clothing and your food and that type of thing. And what you guys do is the same as what communities do in storm situations and in tragedy in our country. And this is their normal living in third world countries.
That is their day-to-day life.
Right.
I was in Uganda, and we were 6 hours out of the main city. And literally, there was no indoor plumbing in the entire town. And it was just amazing that at night they had to lock up the houses. They didn't have windows like we have windows, but they would board up the windows at night because you didn't know what animals were roaming around. There were no police. There were no street lights. There were no streets.
Right. Now, did you feel, I mean, obviously, it's a wholly different experience. Were you afraid to be out there? Did you feel well protected with the people that you were with?
I felt protected by the people that every time I've gone anywhere, I've always felt protected by the people I was with. But in the real world, it's very dangerous to be in some of these countries.
Right.
If you're there at the wrong time, it's just the wrong time. And so I was one time I was in Central America, and everyone had gotten sick. And I wanted to go to the store because I was getting sick, and I wanted to get the medicine before I got sick.
Right.
And the only one that was well enough to walk with me to the store was a 10-year-old little boy.
Not much protection there.
Not at all. And he didn't speak English.
Oh, even better.
So we're walking down the street, and we were really only about two blocks from this little shopping area. And as we got closer, I realized there was a group of men following us. And I realized, this is not good.
Right. Something's up.
And so I ducked into what was the biggest store I could see. And in these countries, their guards, their security guards, have these huge rifles or machine guns or AK-47s or I don't know what they are, but they're huge guns. And so I ducked into the biggest store because I knew they would have a guard with a big gun.
Mm-hmm. Smart move.
Which didn't mean he would protect me.
You were hoping.
But at least there would be someone with a gun there, hopefully, that would not let them just take me away.
Right.
And we just waited it out, and I guess they figured they couldn't just hang around long. They didn't know if I called somebody or, you know, what might happen.
Right.
So they did disperse. So that was one of the last times that I've been on any trip and went somewhere by myself.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a lesson well learned.
You know, it's funny.
It was.
I was in Ecuador, and you were saying being in a place at the wrong time. I was there vacationing, and all the farmers were rising up against the government because of either certain taxes or something, and no one was allowed to drive. And we had a taxi guy that was willing to pick us up, and I'll never forget this. We pulled down this road, and then here are all these farmers with pitchforks and sticks, and they started chasing after the taxi, and the guy floored it going backwards. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is like a weird movie. And he goes, you got to get out. So we got out, and we ran down into the woods, and he took off because he says, they'll destroy my car because I'm not supposed to be driving. I'm supposed to be respecting this ban on travel. So I'm like, okay,
mm-hmm.
okay. And meanwhile, we're just, you know, everything seemed like I'd been there twice. So the time before that, I'd gone with some friends to drop off school supplies for all the children that are in the farm areas that have a school where they got one piece of paper a day. So bringing a stack of paper allowed them to have like endless thoughts or able to create on paper. So we thought it was going to be the same exact trip. Second time we went, there was a change in the atmosphere, so you just have to really just be conscious of it and respect what they're going through. So.
And now you're looking.
Absolutely.
You're looking to go to Haiti, and what's your thoughts there as far as what are you going for? Do you have a certain something you're doing there?
I have been trying to get to Haiti ever since the earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
It has not happened for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I have had things, and it didn't happen to me, thank God. But one trip I was prepared to go on, and the pastor of the church that I was going to be hosted by got kidnapped.
Oh,
my. So they did bring him back, but he said, you know, it's not safe. You know, I can't have visitors down here. I can't guarantee that I can protect you. I can't protect myself.
Right.
And most of the people, like you said, most of the people that host you or in the countries are very nice and mm-hmm. very kind and will protect you. They will go out of their way to try to protect you.
When you get to Haiti, if you could look for a whole bunch of very natural arts and crafts and things like that. When Tony and I moved here from California, the earthquake had just happened, and we let all of our stuff go to a family who had come over to Florida to try to find clothing and dishes and stuff because they had all been wiped out. And we had this woman come to us on the day that we were selling everything from both of our homes and my business and all of that because we were leaving to move out here in the next few days. And we literally filled this woman's huge car up with all of our house belongings. Because we realized that she was going back to a community that was completely flattened. They had nothing, no clothing, no blankets, no nothing. So for us, it was like, geez, we're going to sell a shirt for 50 cents and, you know, get rid of a pile of dishes for $5. We ended up just giving her everything she could take in that vehicle and ended our little garage sale and away we moved. So for us, it was like, wow, we felt great that we knew that people were really going to be using this stuff. They really needed it.
Absolutely. And I'm not exactly sure what our project's going to be. I'm going with a group called Women of Global Change.
Nice.
And we're going to go down there and do some project. Every year they do a project.
Very nice.
And this year we're going to Haiti, and it's one of those what I call a nice mission trip, because we're going to go cruising. So we're going to cruise to Haiti. So we'll have a wonderful time on the cruise, but then when we get to Haiti, it'll be time to get down to business.
Right.
So I think we're going to paint something down there. I think we're also going to build a school. I think we're going to build a school down there.
Wow.
And it's amazing how in these third world countries, you know, in Los Angeles, you need building permits and
red tape
and stuff.
Right.
You go to these third world countries, they give you some wood, some tin, and you just
bang
away and build a one-room schoolhouse in 2 days.
Right.
And they're grateful.
Yeah, they just need some muscle to go down there and put it together. Go here.
Now,
speaking
of grateful, I understand that you are working on a documentary. And the documentary is going to help people understand what's going on in healthcare and how to put pieces together for you to figure out what you should be doing in healthcare. Why don't you talk a little bit about what you're doing there?
Well, I went to a conference. Well, actually, I'm working with a business, and the business is working on doing some healthcare solutions, which led me to go to a conference to learn more about the new healthcare system. And I was just shocked at what I didn't know,
mm-hmm.
first of all.
Right.
And then as I talked to people, I realized nobody really understands what's going on. And the open enrollment for the new healthcare system started October 1st. And it goes through the end of March. So people have 6 months to enroll, but the earlier people enroll, the better the system will work. And people have all kinds of concerns about what it means, how they can enroll. And it's really a very simple process.
So
I got involved in the documentary to just give people the basic information. People are so caught up in the argument of whether it's right or wrong.
Right.
And at this point, that's irrelevant. It is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It is happening, and until it goes away, people need to get themselves involved because it may never go away. So if it's here to stay, then it needs to be successful because the country loses if it doesn't work.
Right, and people need to understand it so they can embrace it, because if they don't understand it, then nobody's going to wrap their arms around it.
Exactly, and there are people out there that are giving out information, good information, enrollment information that's not controversial. It's just the facts that you need to participate in the program. So I'm producing with some other people a documentary that kind of is going to give out just basic information, numbers you need to call, forms you need to fill out, what it means if you're self-employed, what if it means if you're employed by a company, what does it mean if you're involved in a union, and how all the pieces are going to come together so that everyone in our country has insurance for health care.
Wow, wouldn't that be something?
When do you think this documentary is going to be done, and where can people see it?
Well, it's going to be online because we want it available pretty much to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And even though everybody isn't on the Internet, most people have access to the Internet. And most of the enrollment is going to be easiest done on the Internet also. So we're going to make it available that way. We're not sure exactly when it's going to be finished. Unfortunately, we were late adopters to this whole concept, as unfortunately many people are.
Right.
And that's why the information isn't out there. So hopefully we're going to have it out before the end of the year, because then there'll only be 3 months left.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. of the open enrollment. And what people don't understand is that there are penalties attached to not enrolling in insurance. And the cost can be as little as $13 a month, at least in California,
wow.
from what I understand. And the penalty is going to be $95 for the year. So for just a little bit more than what the penalty is...
You got coverage.
You have coverage. So people need to understand that. A lot of people were saying, you know, well, I'll just pay the penalty. Well, that doesn't help the system. The system has got to work, and it's only going to work if people enroll into the system.
No, and that makes perfect sense. So I mean, what they're trying to do is they're really obviously trying to encourage everyone to get involved, get behind it. You know, everywhere else around the world almost, they have health care. You know, I have a friend of mine who went to, I believe it was Paris, France, and she brought a bunch of students there, and one student got sick. And so she said, well, I'm going to bring her to the hospital because I don't know where to bring her. We're here on vacation. And she brought the girl to the hospital. They checked her out. They kept her there for almost like 6 or 7 hours. And they said, okay, thank you. You know, gave her some medication. That was it. And they said, no bill? They're like, no, there's no bill. You're all set.
Lovely.
And I was like, oh, my God, really? Like, you know, that's happening out in Paris, France. And here, they would look at
Canada.
You and they wouldn't let you in the door unless they said, where's your insurance card? You know,
how much money do you have? Do you have a job?
Yeah.
How are you going to pay us?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Right, and that kind of isn't going to change. They're still going to say, where's your insurance card?
Yeah.
The big difference is going to be everyone has the ability to get one.
Right. This time you'll have one.
Yeah, huge difference. But it just amazed me that they can actually do that over in Europe and over here, you know.
We're supposed to be so much further advanced, right?
Yeah.
We're supposed to be so much ahead of everybody else in the world, yet we probably have the worst health situation in the world.
Well, again, it goes back to humanitarian thoughts. So, you know, I know they're not allowed to push anyone away when you go to the emergency room, but they'll make you wait. We're not going to push you away, but you got to wait 3 or 4 days in the waiting room until we take you in.
Yeah, you really do, and... That's one of the things that concerns people. If everyone has insurance, where are all of these people going to receive health care?
Right.
Because in Los Angeles especially, we've watched a lot of the hospitals and the clinics close down.
Right.
So that is a concern. But it's still a matter of the system is here. Let's take advantage of the system and work out the kinks. If it fails, it fails. But if we don't participate, it's guaranteed to fail.
Exactly.
So people have got to get involved, got to get enrolled, and not just say, well, I'll take the penalties.
And Aretha, thank you so much for putting this together for people like me who obviously I'm going to be watching this documentary because I need to know. I'm one of those people who does not understand what the government is trying to do with the healthcare system, and I really want to know more details in a manner that I can understand and relate to and what I should be doing. So I think it's phenomenal that you're using your celebrity status, and I want to just comment on that. Recently, you had to tell somebody you were a celebrity, I heard, and I heard a really funny story about that. Do you want to share that? Because normally people know who you are.
Here.
I heard something about you went somewhere and you had to tell them you were a celebrity because they didn't know and they were looking at you funny.
I don't know what story
she's not sure of that story. Maybe you should tell your version, Janie.
Well,
this might be gossip, see? So you're getting
it. Could
it.
Be.
Maybe she
it
read
could
it
be.
In the Inquirer.
I was at an event with you the other night, and first of all, I do want to say that I had so much fun pranking Mr. Eric Zulli the other night with you when you and I became his Easy Way Elder Angels because he had all these hot, hot mama models that were, you know, 20 years old in these skimpy little outfits and skinny as a rail. And so Aretha and I decided that we were going to be the Elder Angels. And we threw on one of their tiny little shirts, and we paraded out in front of him and said, uh-huh, you got some mama angels here now, buddy. So that was a lot of fun.
And we were hot, too.
We were hot, and we will continue
we
to be hot.
I saw those dance moves you guys were doing. Those girls learned a couple of moves from you.
But somebody, it was actually Monica who was saying to me that you don't usually have to tell people you're a celebrity because people generally will recognize you and know that you're a celebrity, and that you were at a salon or something along those lines, and you had walked in and people didn't recognize you because of whatever you were wearing or whatever you looked like on that particular day, and that you had to let them know that you were a celebrity and that they could just relax.
Okay.
Who knows?
You don't remember reading that in the Inquirer?
No.
I saw the picture and everything. I thought it was definitely you saying that.
Well, it's really funny because it's a very fine line because you don't know why people are staring at you a lot of times.
Right.
And so it's like, do I have toilet paper on my shoe? Or, you know? And so sometimes you think that they're recognizing you, and they're not. So I've gotten to the point where I don't jump out and say, you know, do you know who I am?
Yeah, although it might help sometimes.
Because you never know. I mean, I was driving out of a parking lot, and there were some women pointing at me and waving, and I thought, oh, okay, and I rolled down the window, and I was going to, you know, be gracious. They said, yeah, we really like your car.
So it had nothing to do with they knew who you were. Bummer.
They had no idea who I was.
Well, they're like, hey, you're going to hit that carriage. Hey, you're going to hit a carriage.
Exactly.
And you're like, okay, then. See you next time.
Bang.
So I've gotten so I checked to see, you know, exactly why they're acknowledging me or ignoring me.
Right, one or the other. So, Retha, we want to thank you so much for joining us on our show today, and we are just thrilled to have you back in Hollywood doing all this great stuff with Betty White where we can see you, and that's a fabulous thing. We're really glad that you got picked up again for another season, and where can people follow what you're doing and watch your trip to Haiti and just keep an eye on the great things that you're doing?
Well, I try to be consistent. So it's pretty much Retha Gray, R-E-A-T-H-A-G-R-E-Y, everything. So it's RethaGray.com, RethaGray.info, at Retha Gray on Twitter, Retha Gray on Facebook. I do all my own social media. I know other people handle all their social media. I handle my own, which means sometimes I don't see your tweet and I don't answer it. But if I do, it's me answering.
Isn't that cool? That's really nice for the fans to know that they're talking to you directly when they do talk to you.
And that you're really up on the times and you have all those social media things in the works. That's great. It's great to know.
Sometimes I forget, like, my Instagram is Retha S. S is in Sam. And that's why I try not to name anything different, because someone was asking me the other night, what's your Instagram? And I couldn't for the life of me figure it out.
Right.
But that's Retha S. That's the only one that's different. And I think my YouTube channel is... No, I think I changed that to Retha Gray because it was easier. But, yeah, I'm Retha Gray everything. My friends call me... gadget granny, because I have all the gadgets and do all the internet stuff. And that's the other thing I encourage seniors to get involved with, is learning how to work these gadgets and how to be on the internet, because even like for the healthcare, most of the enrollment is online. If you don't know how to get online, it's going to make it harder for you to enroll.
Right.
So you got to keep up with this stuff.
Are you listening, listeners? Take her advice there. Fine. If you can't get online, your kids can. Your neighbor can. Somebody can. Get some assistance. You can go to the library even and get online. And
absolutely.
Check out what Retha's doing. She's got a lot of places you can find her. She's doing a lot of great things. Keep your eye out. If you're a Hollywood personnel here, make sure you check out these red carpets and cheer her on. And Retha, we are so, so happy to have you join us today. Thank you for the great things you're doing in Hollywood and around the world for humanitarian efforts. And we definitely look forward to another season of you on television with Betty White's Off Their Rockers, as well as the other films you have coming out. So, ladies and gentlemen, definitely keep an eye on Retha Gray. She's the one to watch this year.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm one of the lucky people that gets to do what I want to do. I love doing humanitarian work. I love acting, and I certainly enjoy working with Betty White.
That is great. Well, you enjoy the rest of your day, and keep an eye out for your fans. Make sure that they are waving to you and not trying to warn you of hitting something. And we will definitely keep in touch and come back on and see us again.
Absolutely, anytime.
All right.
Thanks, Rita.
Take care.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.
So I think it's really great the way Aretha has reclaimed her life and reinvented her life and has taken full control of what she wants to do. She was doing it back in the 70s, took a break from Hollywood for a while, and came back around and is still doing it. And it's a great encouragement for everyone out there that there's no time in the present to get started. You don't have to wait.
I think it's really cool that, you know, there's two parts that are really great about this. First of all, she did come back into the industry that she loves and is back to doing what she wants to do. But she also has now resumed the whole doing great things for great people. So I think that it's a twofold thing where she not only reclaimed her life, but she also reclaimed her passions. And that's just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
I love the fact that she's actually out there working the red carpet four nights
yeah.
a week. I think that is awesome because, you know, when you go to these red carpet events, it's usually people in their 20s that have really haven't done too much in the industry. And if they have, it's only been a number of years because they're so young. Then you take a woman like her who's been in the industry in and out for a number of years, and she just comes in there and lights up the place because she has such enthusiasm for life, and she's so playful live. So I think it's great.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I wanted to have her on the show, because I want people to be inspired by her. She inspires me since the day I met her. I see her, like you said, we see her everywhere, all around Hollywood and all over the place doing great things, and usually at good fundraisers and things that we're at and supporting. But I do think that she is an inspiring woman at any age. You can definitely do what you want to do. It's never, 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 never too late.
No, it's not. And that being said, I think we should go right into the song that I wrote called Reinvent Your Life. And that is what the entire song is about, is to go out there and try something new at any age that you're at. This is Reinvent Your Life. It is available on iTunes. It is available on my website, www.sainttone.com. Here it is. I hope you enjoy it.
Got the
Once again, that is Saint Tone. You can grab that CD or grab that song on iTunes, on Bandcamp, or you can go to www.sainttone.com to check it out.
And it's called Reinvent Your Life.
Yes, it is.
So next week, we have a really cool guest coming on, too, because we try to keep really cool guests coming on so that you guys can enjoy your listening afternoon or evening if you're East Coasters. So we have a young lady named Gloria Williams, who also is reinventing her life. She just moved from Chicago to L.A., and she is pursuing her dreams of having a product out there on the market. She is known as the Foot Nanny.
The Foot Nanny.
Foot Nanny, which is such a fun, playful name. So she has been known in circles as Oprah Winfrey's foot masseuse and nail technician. And Gloria can be found right now at Anastasia's in Beverly Hills, which is a really amazing place. She is starting there on Monday morning, so exciting. We're going to have her here on Monday and find out all about her transition and what she's doing and what's happening with Oprah and all the great people that the Foot Nanny is messing around with. I heard last week she was working with Stevie Wonder's girls. So, yeah, a lot of fun. She should have lots of conversation for us. And she's doing a great humanitarian effort and supporting the blind. She is doing some products of her foot gels and creams and goodies. And she's putting Braille on the labels so that the blind have an easier time picking out their product at a store. So I think that's a really commendable thing. We're going to talk about how she came up with that thought. And see you next week on Humanitarian Radio.